The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast, brought to you by the best street food court in all the land. It is, of course, Blue Collar Street Food. Well, where on earth do we start on last night? That was one of the most incredible performances I think we've seen at the Medeski, the SCL, whatever you want to call it, for quite some years. I am Matt Lansley. I'm going to be hosting today's podcast, and I'm joined by, obviously, two guys that were at the game yesterday. We've got Paul Mann. How are you doing, Paul?
Honestly, all I can just think of is loom, 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 loom. That is all I've got in my head. That is, yeah, fantastic. An absolutely amazing night. And yeah, brilliant.
I think it's been ringing around every Reading fan's head for the last 12 hours, I think. It's just been, yeah. And I've also got Alex on the phone. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm on the phone. I actually am on the phone this time. I'm doing well. I've got Tommy Holmes' blue and white in my head still from last night.
If you didn't know,
he does hate Swindon.
He does. He does, absolutely. And I think finally that chant has finally kicked off. We were talking about it and it was brought up last year, but it's nice to see it finally taking off because he deserved a chant. He deserved a chance, did Tom Holmes. I think we're going to kick off today. I'm shamelessly taking this from Match of the Day too. So apologies to anyone who is offended by this or anyone who works on Match of the Day. And yeah, but too good, too bad. I want to have some good points and some bad points from both of you. Paul, what was two good points from last night?
Everything. Absolutely everything. It's really hard to find
That's
anything.
Multiple points.
That is. It's everything. Everything was good last night. Another positive is I was with someone who had to get up ridiculously early today, and I left about 1 minute before the end of the match, and we managed to get out of the Greyhound car park. No problems at all. No problems at all. And we were deep in the car park. For me, that was a massive plus. But yeah, I can't see anything negative about last night. What about you, Alex?
Negatives from last night are very, very difficult to come by, if I'm honest.
It was
only three. We could have scored five, let's be honest. Second negative from last night. I'm struggling. It rained. That's about it. That's the only negative I've got.
It ended?
Maybe.
That was the big negative. It ended. I wanted to keep it going.
I think every Reading fan has been living off the high of last night because, let's be honest, it doesn't happen very often. I think we've only won more than 3-0. I think, Alex, you sent out a tweet, was it three times since 2016 or something? It's like, it doesn't happen very often. So just Reading fans, enjoy the feeling of last night, bottle it up. And yeah, because it was some night. We are, of course, going to talk about the game a little bit because it started, actually. The night started, I won't lie, I won't try and make two bones about it. I was a bit worried when I saw the team news, because you've just lost 4-0 to Rotherham and you see no changes. I mean, Alex, give me all your thoughts on what your thinking was when you saw that team news.
Honestly, I was quite unsurprised that we'd made no changes, just because it felt really difficult to see where the changes would come from. The only change which anybody really had suggested with any kind of credence was dropping Joe Lumley, and that was it. That was the only one which anybody suggested which even made sense in the context of who we have available.
You could have maybe said Kamara up the field, maybe?
But again, it's kind of a, I think it's a bit of a long shot. We haven't seen him really in a league game yet. So I don't think there was one which is going to, someone who was going to come in and improve the side necessarily. I think the main difference from last night versus Saturday, immediately when you saw it at the start of the game, was the fact that we didn't line up with just one striker and then two attacking midfielders behind. It was definitely a case of having two strikers last night, and that was a major difference.
Yeah, 100%. Paul, what was your thoughts? Was it kind of what you expected? I kind of feel like it was a bit circumstantial, like Alex says, with the team news.
There's only one thing I took away from the team news, and that was Lucas Jow on the bench. That was a boost straight away to see him there. I think lifted people, maybe some people actually going to the game. I'm not saying he created the atmosphere, because he didn't. But once you see his name and you think, oh, okay, I didn't expect to see that. On the changes, I didn't really think we could make any, to be honest. So, yeah, not much surprise there from me.
Yeah. No, like you say, I think Zhao seeing on the bench, because I'm not going to lie, the first thing I saw was obviously the first 11, and I missed Zhao until I reread it and was trying to work out what was going on. And then I saw, Zhao's on the bench, and it lifted myself, certainly. And I think
I'm so surprised, Matt, that you were slightly late with the news.
It's not like really me at all, is it? It's never like me to be slightly late with the news, no. But kind of following on from the team news, obviously the game kicked off, and it was a refreshing start to the game. I mean, we got through that seemingly dreaded first 10 minutes where you've got your hands behind or your eyes behind your hands and like trying to shield yourself from anything that's going on in that first 10 minutes, seemingly this season. We got through it really comfortably, and we actually started really well and on the front foot, Alex.
Yeah, we didn't ever look under pressure from Blackburn in that first 10 minutes particularly. And although we didn't come out and create a glorious chance early on, I think the whole thing with the first 10 minutes was just get through that first 10-15 minute opening period without conceding and then take the game from there. And I think that's what we did. It after 10 minutes, it felt like everybody was able to just kind of relax into it a bit more and then go from there.
Yeah, well, these are the things, isn't it? I quite enjoyed the kind of getting through that first 10 minutes was immense. I don't know what was kind of the tension, even when Joe Lemony was going up for a simple catch, was it was really tricky. But wow, I mean, how good was it for that atmosphere in the first 10-15 minutes as well, Alex?
Yeah, it really kicked on. It was loud. And it was loud all night, really. A lot of praise coming out after that game for 1871. And I think the first chance that we had came from a free kick, and then it was kind of looped in and it kind of screwed all the way through to the back stick, really. Don't really know how it happened. And then we won the corner, which obviously Tom McIntyre scores from. And that's a good way to start making up for what was a poor performance on Saturday as well.
Set pieces all night, but that corner was just brilliant. In the first half, which is chance after chance, wasn't it? I mean, I don't think I've seen such good set pieces for us for years.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was Blackburn not marking us properly, but I mean, McIntyre's goal obviously comes from a header, and I think it's meant to be Brereton Diaz who's marking him, but he's just nowhere near him. McIntyre basically just ghosts into the 6-yard box, and he's got a pretty simple header in reality for the goal. And going 1-0 up, I think it put a lot of nerves to bed. And then we had three. I can remember at least three more chances, which were kind of clear headed chances from set pieces. I mean, there was, I think Yeardon had one very, very shortly after as well. Holmes had one in the second half, which was a header, which went just wide. We looked really good from set pieces all night. And that, that second chance that we had during the first half from Yeardon must have only been about, 20 minutes in or so. So, and even then, we dominated the rest of the first half as well, because Shane Long obviously then had the penalty shout about 5 minutes after that.
Yes, it was ridiculous the amount of chances we had, Matt, wasn't it? I mean, we had the Holmes header, we had the Fauna shot. None of them, you thought, oh, that's a terrible miss. It was actually good defending, annoyingly.
Yes, I mean, well, it was just frustrating that not one of them was taken, because you were watching it and thinking, just with your Reading SC hat on, I mean, is this going to come back to bite us? You know, are we going to regret missing these chances? Because like say, the chances that were there, I mean, none of them you can really attribute to bad misses. Fauna, you had three players on the line for that. I mean, how the header from the corner didn't go in when it was cleared off the line, I still don't know. I thought it was over the line at the time, but yeah, it was just nice seeing these chances created, but you were just thinking, please take one, you know, at some point.
But the feeling at halftime, though. You could see the whole crowd was just getting behind it. Club 1871 were immense last night, and so were the whole stadium. It's not just them, it's everyone there. There was a special feeling. I can't work out how it happened, but if we could just bottle that for every game, that atmosphere, it would be incredible, Matt.
I think the fans fed off the performance then fed off the fans, because, you know, I've not seen a first half of that intensity from a Reading team. The pressing, I mean, at times almost you had Loom and Fauna and Hendrick almost man marking in the midfield. There was literally no way out in the first half. And seeing that as a fan, and I think probably one of the players that won't get many mentions from last night, but was stunning again for Reading, was Tom Ince. Because again, I think the way he ran, and also Shane Long as well, because he ran his socks off, but Ince Jr. on the pitch, you know, Tom Ince, he was almost just leading by example again with how much running he was doing. And I can't remember the last time we've really seen that, and that pressing. It was so good. I mean, Alex, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, the press was really, really high. I mean, countless times we won the ball back in the first half, kind of in their half, or very, very, you know, very, very not deep into our half, you know, only just inside the Reading half. And winning the ball back up that high is always going to be able to create chances, because Blackburn just aren't, they're not going to be in shape to be able to defend them. It surprised me how much we dominated the midfield, in all honesty. And I think a lot of the credit to that goes back to that formation changes I brought up before the start, but also the performance of Loom was fantastic. He, you know, he's a wrecking ball in midfield. He just didn't give up any ball. As soon as the ball was there with the Blackburn player, he was on top of them, ready to get the ball back. That I think it's just a case of the three in midfield worked really well as a three, as opposed to having two and then two in front of them.
Definitely. And I think because I think one of the biggest things at Rotherham was seeing Hendrick out of position, and he almost looked awkward out of position. He didn't know. It seemed like watching it anyway, he didn't quite know where he was, what to do. But in that flatter, you know, deeper lying midfielder role where he can go box to box, he can break up play, he can spread the play.
Yeah, I'm not even sure Hendrick had an amazing game yesterday necessarily, but I just think that he just looked much more comfortable there. And that then allowed Fauna and Loom a bit more kind of freedom as well to be able to roam as well. So all three of them kind of, they weren't free roaming midfielders all over the place, but they all had the opportunity to do so because of the fact that they knew that there was two other players covering for them.
There was a clear structure, wasn't there? And you could see it on the pitch. Everybody believed in it, and a pattern that Blackburn just couldn't deal with on the night. You know, I've no idea where Blackburn will end at the end of the season. I'm sure they'll be fine. They've still got quality players, but it just, everything clicked last night. It was basically perfection, Matt.
It was. And I think maybe Blackburn hadn't been pressed to that extent yet in the season so far. That might have been it, because they'd certainly struggled with it, because the amount that their defenders try to pass out and then it'd be one in the midfield through a loose pass and, you know, Fauna or Hendrick or Loom would pick it up. It was, yeah. But then we kind of come into the second half and it was about five, ten minutes in. Joe Lumley had a stinker at the weekend. There's no bones about it. And like we said, potentially some people calling for him to not start this game. But he makes a fantastic save on at 1-0 at about five, ten minutes in. I mean, Alex, sum that save up. How crucial was it, really?
Yeah, I think it's Brereton Diaz with the shot from 12, 13 yards. And genuinely, this is like a match-winning type of save. The save itself, although it's not going in the corner, it's the fact that the shot of the speed of the shot is so fast. The fact that Lumley's managed to react to it before it's gone past him is pretty ridiculous in my eyes. And to actually be able to tip it up and over, just really, really incredibly good save. And although he didn't have a lot to do yesterday, the one thing that he did have to do, he did it, you know, perfectly. And that's what you need him to do. If it only happens once a game, that's great.
Absolutely. And I mean, we put a tweet out earlier today, obviously, asking about what you enjoyed most from the game. And Lumley came up quite a few times. And obviously, one of the biggest things was the high fives after that save. I mean, I think it was Tom McIntyre, Holmes, I think Hoylett as well, all coming over, giving big high fives. I think Yeardom comes over after as well. Just keeping his head in it. You know, I mean, like the kind of leadership on the pitch there and kind of congratulating Lumley. It's really nice to see. I mean, Paul, what was your thoughts?
Well, we put that tweet out that you mentioned, like your favourite moment from last night. And there was so many, lots of different people picking out different things. But there was Tatum RFC saying, Lumley celebrating with C1871 after our second goal. Seemed like he finally forgot about the disaster at the weekend and was involved again. I mean, another one from James Higgins, Joe Lumley celebration after we win. That's twice he's done it now. I love that slow walk behind the goal. He's going to be erratic, but we just have to accept that sometimes he will make, like Alex said, game-changing saves. And that save that he made, I was sat there, I was certain I was going in. Those are the moments that you want, and that's what he will continue to get it back in, even though he had a nightmare. If you're pulling out those kind of moments, fans will say, well, okay, try not to have the nightmares all the time, but you do actually pull out good displays as well.
100%. And I mean, Ince kind of touched upon it on the radio as well, the thought behind keeping him in the team, dropping him out of the team, and dropping him out of the team would have almost had a even bigger detrimental effect on him. So it's you could almost say fair play to Ince for kind of backing him. But I mean, he also said that he's going to make more saves to win us points than lose us points. Obviously, only time will tell really on that. But I think for Ince to show him the faith, hopefully, like we say, that Rotherham first half will just be a blip, and you know, we can continue to see kind of the Joe Lumley we saw in the first two games, because I think the first two games he was pretty good, you know, on all accounts, commanding, good saves, relatively good with the ball at his feet as well. He does seemingly take a bit of time on it when the ball comes, he's got a player charging him down. I do kind of worry that there might be a player once that gets to him, but we'll worry about that when we get to, or if that ever happens. I mean, that save at 1-0, it keeps it at 1-0. If that goes in, it's a different game. But he makes that save, and then Hoylett decides he's going to take on the full right-hand side of the pitch, and he scores an absolutely fantastic second goal. And the relief, I think, that was felt in the ground, in the team, in the stands with the fans, it was just so nice to get that second goal. I mean, Alex, talk us through the second goal.
Yeah, it's the crossfield pass over towards Shane Long. And Long, he doesn't really challenge for it. I don't mean you really class it as an involvement for Shane Long here, but I think his presence definitely puts off the defender just enough for the defender sticks over a bad header and Hoylett picks it up on the right-hand side. And the finish which he puts in is really, really good. Just smashes it off the top of the bar over the hands of the keeper. And it has remnants of the goal that we conceded against Blackburn, actually. Blackpool on the first game of the season. It's very similar to that. And yeah, the relief when that goes in is huge, because all of a sudden you think, well, Blackburn, they've offered one small spell of threatening moments. But apart from that, it was very, very little before that time.
It also reminded me of the game of the week, goal of the weekend that Rotherham scored.
Right in
the near place. There's something about goalies. Clearly, they're having a problem with this kind of shot. I don't know what it is, moving too much for the cross, or just people are striking thunder bastards, you know, because it seems to happen. I remember second penultimate away game of last season, Hull City. Another similar goal for the first one. Seems to be the place to hit the ball at the moment. But yeah, when that went in, were any of us expecting a goal at that moment? Because I don't think I was from Hoyler. I didn't think he was going to score from that.
I think most were expecting a cross, you know, because he's taken it so deep, like you say, reminiscent of Washington at the weekend. But I think one of the biggest things, kind of, I think confidence for Hoyler after yesterday, because I mean, he, like their left back, number three, Pickering, he had on strings for the whole game. I mean, so much went down that left hand, or that Blackburn left hand side, our right. It was just, Hoyler was getting more into those positions where you want to see him up the pitch, affecting play and obviously attacking up there, which was really, really good to see. And then you just had that feeling of just comfort, which is a weird thing as a Reading fan. But obviously, Shane Long obviously ran his socks off yesterday. We've touched a little bit on his performance already, but obviously he was subbed off about 70 odd minutes. Another standing ovation for the performance. And we have the return of Zhao. We have the return of Lucas Zhao. I mean, Paul, I think you've run out of superlatives for Lucas Zhao, but it was a nice feeling seeing him coming back, and obviously the ovation of Long going off as well.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, Long just completely knows how to master the game, lying down. So even if he hadn't stopped for like a water break or whatever was happening there, it would have been a kill in the game time as well. So us to like collect ourselves and not get ourselves out of control. Do we think that Shane Long coming in is going to give Lucas Zhao a kick up the arse? Because yes. I think Lucas Zhao is a quality player. But I think having someone else there who's getting that adulation in his position, I don't know how that's going to work with him. Who knows? Lucas Zhao is, you don't know where he's going. His goal was fantastic, though. Great work from Fauna as well. But Alex, what did you think on it?
Yeah, Zhao's a bit of an enigma, isn't he? Let's be honest. He can turn it on when nobody else does, but he can look completely uninterested when everybody else is on the game. So it's a difficult one to know what kind of reaction he has to a player like Shane Long coming in and having such a, you know, such a warm reception from the fans straight away. And it's an interesting scenario, I think, with Shane Long and Lucas Zhao, because although I think 99% of Reading fans will appreciate the fact that currently Lucas Zhao is a better player, it's very difficult to justify, based on the Shane Long performances that we've seen so far, I think it's very difficult to justify Shane Long just being dropped. And then it comes, the situation is, do you leave Shane Long in the team until he has a couple of bad games, or do you just bring Zhao back in as soon as he's 100% fit? I really don't know what the answer to that one is.
I had the discussion on the way back from the ground with one of the guys that I was at the game with, and they offer two completely different styles of play, Lucas Zhao and Shane Long. So it might almost depend on the game, the opponent you're playing. But I think one thing's for certain, when Shane Long's up there, up top on his own, I never remembered him as good of a centre forward as he's been since he's come back, because the way he holds up the play, hassles defenders. I mean, they're, I think it was the, it was constantly on the back of, I can't remember their main centre back, Ayala. It was with Ayala and the number 33. They absolutely ran him ragged for the full 70 minutes it was on the pitch. But I don't know. It's such a tough one. It's such a tough one to drop one at the moment.
I think the thing is that Shane Long wasn't that good when he was at the club holding the ball up last time.
Possibly.
I think that's a big difference, yeah. He definitely wasn't as good at that. I mean, that's no surprise. He's 10 years on and he's played in the Premier League for 10 years. That's not saying he wasn't good when he was here before, but he's obviously got better. You know, who wouldn't if you play in that environment for 10 years? But yeah, it's just a fantastic even. And I also like got this tweeting for talking about the moments in the match, and some major disaster on Twitter has mentioned. Fan in the East Stand mugging Diaz off and then almost launching the ball at his head. He did not appreciate that.
that was one of the funniest points of the night, can I just say? Because, Diaz, he looked incensed after that. Like, it almost looked like he completely lost his head and he was going to do some sort of Eric Cantona moment with the fan. But, I mean, that's the kind of shithousery you want to see. Sorry for the French, but, I mean, it was just brilliant to see.
Yeah, especially once he comes off as well in the second half. Because as soon as he came off in front of the East Stand and walked around Club 1871. And inevitably, he was going to get just pelters from the crowd after that. And so it happened. He came off and he didn't have a particularly good game, Diaz. I think he missed two or three, not easy chances, but two or three half chances. And just didn't really affect the game whatsoever. And the fact that he, you know, been wound up by the home fans didn't really help his reaction when he came off.
I saw someone tweet, they actually was laughing a bit when he walked past.
He was. No, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was instructed off to the far side by the referee. And I think then the fans thought he's going to be coming this way. And then when he came this way, everyone started like hurling abuse left, right and centre. And pretty much as he was walking by the corner flag, he just drops his head and he was just chuckling to himself. So fair play to Diaz for seeing the funny side of it, because I think he probably knew that he didn't have the best of games. But kind of one final question kind of on the Shane Long kind of performance, just to you both, just a one word answer. Do you either drop either Shane Long or Lucas Shaw, or do you fit them into the team together?
I'd definitely keep him in. Definitely keep it. There's absolutely no way that you
do you
can
bring
drop.
Lucas Shaw in as well?
I don't think they can work together. That's the problem. No. I'm not sure. I don't think they complement each other. Neither of them are a link player. I'm not sure. Maybe they would. Maybe they could come in and devastate. But I'm not sure how that would work as a team dynamic as well. I don't know, Alex. What do you think?
I'd play Long for now. Shaw is not going to be 100% fit yet. There's no need to rush him back if you've got a player who's in playing reasonably well in Shane Long up front at the moment. And with the system that we're playing, although we played two strikers last night, I don't really think you can justify dropping Tom Ince to fit in Lucas Shaw and Shane Long ahead of him. So I would probably be starting Long until Shaw is fully 100% match fit, can last 90 minutes, etc., and not worry about trying to fit them both in and trying to change the systems to get the best out of two strikers when actually the systems that we're playing, or the formations and the style that we've been playing the first four games, generally have been quite encouraging when we've been playing this kind of like one main striker and maybe a second striker in Tom Ince.
Yeah. I think one thing is for sure, it's nice that we've actually just got options up top now, because for so long we've been starved of kind of it's Shaw or nothing. And it's just nice to have the option to have a player of the quality of either Lucas Shaw or Shane Long to come off the bench, or to have both of them on the pitch. Whatever kind of your thoughts are, let us know what your thoughts are, you know, on the Shaw and Long situation. Who do you drop? Do you play them both, etc.? Because it's going to be an intriguing one to kind of watch. But after we've kind of said that we won't bring Shaw back in, I think all three of us have kind of agreed on that. 8 minutes in, he then goes and scores. I mean, explain this. Like, it's a fantastic goal from Lucas Shaw, and it's just what he can do. It's the quality that he brings with him. I mean, it's some fantastic play, though, of Fauna in the corner, just getting that in there. it's a genius little analogy that Fauna in the corner brings it out and then obviously squares it to Zhao, and it's a fantastic finish. I mean, Paul, he's your man. Take it away.
He's my man. I'm not sure he's my man, but I think Ovi's my clearly my favourite player. I don't know why.
Maybe second
I don't
or
really
third
have a favourite, but it appears to be that way. But yeah, I do love Lucas Zhao. I mean, there's lots of reasons to love him. I think I actually do love him, but because he is so, he's an enigma when he's on the pitch. I don't know what he's like off it, but you're never quite sure what you're going to get. But you know there is magic in those boots as well sometimes. You just think, that one last night, you think, what's he done here? He's not quite right. And you think, oh, it's a goal, isn't it? So this is what Lucas Zhao does. He doesn't really do simple goals. He kind of likes to drag it out a little bit too long. And maybe that's why he's never, another reason why he hasn't actually made that step up into the Premier League. There's lots of other reasons as well. The fact that he only plays half a season sometimes. But yeah, no, I thought he was really good when he came on. He looked really sharp. And I think it is actually a huge bonus that we don't have to rush him back. I mean, would you, as Alex said earlier, but another player I want to talk about is Andy Yidden, because we've had four league games and I think he's been fantastic in three of them. Absolutely brilliant in leading.
Captain
as
fantastic,
captain,
maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can move on to like Lucas Zhao. I'm sure it's kind of, we could talk about him forever, but Alex, what did you think of, like, because you were there right at the end of the match. What did you think of the atmosphere at the end?
Yeah, the atmosphere was really cracking at the end of the match. Everybody around the ground was extremely loud, and so much of it I think comes back to the way that the players act on the field. And Yeardom is a great example of a player who, I mean, you saw it last night when the Blackburn players were going down and there was niggly things in the area during corners and stuff, and Andy Yeardom is the one who's there kind of backing his players up. And fans see that and react to it, and that's, you know, that drives atmosphere, or at least it certainly starts to drive atmosphere along with performance as well. But yeah, I think Yedom's been fantastic now for at least 3 or 4 months. Probably since Paul Ince's arrived, Yedom has been our most consistent performer, I think, maybe aside from Tom Ince. And Rotherham aside, he's been great this season. He had a really good game yesterday. There was a couple of moments where he's absolutely busting a gut to overlap on Hoylett when Hoylett's got the ball high up as well. He's offering a lot going forwards, even if the outlet isn't really necessarily there. He's just offering the options, which is great to see. And I think he's having a great season, given he's not playing in his favoured position at the moment.
Absolutely. I think, to be honest, he's been given that captaincy from Paul Ince, and the way he's taken to it so far, I mean, he's just been a model professional. I mean, Ince kind of referenced it when he took over from Morrison at the end of last season. He was named captain this year, and he said that obviously it was because his influence in the dressing room, everyone just listens to, you know.
I think one thing to take away from yesterday is, however good it was yesterday, is don't try and get too carried away, because Saturday was pretty awful and it was, yeah, we were bad. Yesterday was really good and that's great. But I think there's going to be moments where we see that all year this year, and it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster, and we could play really badly and then come back and play really well. And I think if you let yourself get too carried away after one game of either way, you're going to find yourself getting very up and down very, very quickly.
This is Reading FC at the end of the day, Alex.
That's all.
Alex, I've booked the bus. I've booked out the purple turtle. Are you saying that I've gone too early? I mean, come on.
I mean, if you've got a refundable deposit, that's great.
I know, I totally agree with what you're saying. It is a roller coaster, but I do think that if you're going to veer on like enjoying it too much when we win, that's the best way to veer, I think, rather than like being manically depressed and like really, really worried about the whole future of the club and we should burn the whole stadium down after one defeat at Rotherham, because it was terrible, but that was not the standard that we've played at in all the other games now. For me, that's the anomaly. We're kind of consistently playing at a better level than that. If you start putting in those performances all the time like Rotherham, you're in a really, really bad place, but we're not at the moment. But I do think they've come along some bad results, like Alex said. So I won't be surprised by them, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think just the biggest or the nicest thing about last night was just the reaction. You know, Rotherham happened. You might get a game like that or a few games like that in the season, but it's how you react to it. And, you know, I think to a man, they stepped up and performed. Tom McIntyre said it in his post-match interview. But we now obviously move on from the hype and the euphoria of last night. And we're only 2 days away now from the next home game. We've got obviously back-to-back home games. We've got Borough coming up at the weekend. They've had a bit of a up and down or a subdued start, Borough. I think they're 2 or 3 draws, no wins so far. A lot of people tipping them for promotion at the start of the season. But we come into this game off the back of today. I mean, we'll cover obviously Borough in a lot more detail in Jacob's pre-match podcast, which should either be out Thursday evening or Friday morning, hopefully. But I mean, Paul, what are your thoughts and kind of predictions coming into the Borough game?
After what you just said, it's really hard, isn't it? Because they put a lot into last night, a hell of a lot of just physicality and mental energy into that. I'd love to say that we're going to win, and I'm going to do it. Why not? Let's be positive about it. I'm going to say 2-1 Reading. 2-1. Middlesbrough still haven't got their first win of the season, which sends fear through my body because we all know how that works. But what do you think, Alice?
Middlesbrough have scored a lot of goals. I think they've got a weird stat where they've scored the most goals and they've conceded the most goals just in the whole of the league, which is really odd. Yeah, they've scored 2 goals in every league game so far, I think. Or it's certainly the last 3 of them. I'm going to go for 2-2.
Score draw. They continue that drawing streak then. I'm quite positive about it. I just hope we back it up because kind of we've gone loss, win. Just don't lose. Don't lose this weekend, Reading, because, you know, then you kind of, you've gone 2 steps forward, 1 step back again. I am going to go optimistic, though. I don't think it's going to be another clean sheet. I'd love it to be like a 1 or 2-0 win. I'm going to go for a 2-1 ding win. Shane Long to get on the score sheet again this time, because we all want that. There's only one Shane Long and all that. But yeah, that kind of wraps it up for the post-match podcast. I mean, just whatever you think of last night, like Alex said, maybe don't get too carried away, but just enjoy it because these nights don't come along that often. I mean, if you've liked the podcast, give us a rating on iTunes, give us a nice 5-star rating, subscribe obviously to all of our socials. Have a listen to Jacob's pre-match podcast when it comes out, and we will catch you guys all on the next one. Thanks guys for joining.